Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, we find our way to chapter number 23. Isaiah and chapter number 23. As we are going through this section of the Bible, we're finding this is a section where God does a tour around the world to be able to explain and to explore the different areas and warnings that God has to those different areas. And we want to explore now the city of Tyre. Now, this is going to be finishing off a section. Remember that we've talked about Assyria, we've mentioned Babylon, we've gone and spoke about Moab, we've explored some of these other countries around them, whether it was Egypt, whether it was Ethiopia, and even going back to Jerusalem. And now we kind of finish this off, that we're going to see a new section of Isaiah start next time we meet. But we finish this off with the city of Tyre. We find our way to Isaiah 23. Isaiah 23, and notice with me in verse number 1. Isaiah 23 in verse number 1. The burden of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for it laid waste, so that there is none house, and no entering in from the land of Chittim. It is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the isle, thou whom the merchants of Zidon that pass over the sea have replenished. And by great waters the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river is a revenue, and she is a mart of nations. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. As at the report concerning Egypt, so that they be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose iniquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers are honorable of the earth? The Lord of hosts hath purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Pass through the land as the river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea and shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon. Arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness. They that set up the towers thereof, and they raised up the palaces thereof, and he brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass that in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years. According to the day of one king, after the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take a harp. Go about the city, thou harlot that hath been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord, and it shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah 23 and verse 1, the burden of Tyre. The burden of Tyre. And with this, we're going to study the city of Tyre as it applies to biblical history and learn more about this very important ancient city. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we approach your word and approach Bible history, we're asking that you would just set my mind in order, put this together in such a way that would be honoring to you, pleasing to you, and also teach these folks here more about this biblical city and how it interacted and how important it was to the history of the nation of Israel. Thank you again that we could trust you and see you're a God who can change lives when we allow you to do your own work. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Do your own work now. You put this in order, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. The city of Tyre was an ancient Phoenician city. You don't have to turn there now, but if you go to the maps in your back, you'll have Israel on the coast. And as you go up from Israel, you're going to run into the city of Sidon. And above it, you're going to come to the city of Tyre. Tyre and Sidon together are going to form an area, country, a land of Phoenicia. Now, Phoenicia is going to be very important and is going to pop up all throughout the Bible. Now, Tyre itself was known for mainly for being a mercantile city, being a merchant city. They were seafarers. The Phoenicians of the ancient world controlled trade of the Mediterranean city. In fact, for a while, it was pretty much just a Phoenician lake because they controlled all travel, all maritime trade all throughout there. They were known as setting colonies. In fact, you might have heard the old city of Carthage that started off as a Phoenician colony, which again, that city rose up to rival even Rome and had a great rivalry between Hannibal and the crossing of the Alps with the elephants and going to surprise Rome. It became a very important network. They were also known for a specific Tyrian purple dye. This dye was derived from a special shellfish, and it was so costly and sought after that it became synonymous with royalty. The color that came from this mollusk was purple. And so remember that they didn't have nice colors or color printers or crayons, that in order to get, most people's clothes were very drab. And so to have it colored, dyed, especially in a purple color, was to show wealth and royalty. It is one of the reasons today that royalty is associated with purple was because of this special dye that came from Tyre. Tyre, of course, also had a strategic geographical location on the Mediterranean coast. It included a heavily fortified island and a robust mainland settlement. So basically, Tyre was kind of cut in two. You had the mainland, and then you had the fortified city of Tyre. And that if anyone invaded the mainland, well, you still didn't destroy Tyre because it was a fortified city off the coast into an island. There was about a half a mile distance between the coast and where the island was. Very easy for it to fortify himself against invaders. Now, like I said, Tyre was highly linked to the city of Sidon. Whether you spell it with a Z or an S, Sidon was its sister city, and they formed together the heart of the Phoenician civilization. With this, let me just kind of explain a little bit about some of the early biblical references to the city of Tyre. Tyre was deeply rooted from the very beginning of the Bible. We find it mentioned all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, when you have the table of nations as Noah and his sons begin to repopulate the earth. The Tyre was so important even back then that it was mentioned inside of that table of nations. So it has its mentionings all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. We see the city mentioned again in significance in the book of Joshua and chapter number 19, where they start dividing out the nation of Israel, and Tyre was used as one of the border markers for the tribe of Asher, which again shows that it was an important city and was showing in the Old Testament that people knew where these cities were. They were that important all the way back then. As we go to the monarchy, we could see that Tyre was very important. That under King David and King Solomon, Hiram of Tyre was the one who supplied the wood for the temple. So David worked out an agreement with Hiram, and Hiram supplied it, all this wood, and prepared for it. And then Solomon later on had deals with him so much that they traded cities and traded funds, and that Solomon and Hiram, the king of Tyre, had a great business relationship, which is an interesting study even today. It's one of my most watched messages, surprisingly, on the internet, was showing this business relationship of Hiram and Solomon and how they worked together and the things that they supplied in that formal treaty. As the Bible goes on, we can see that Tyre had an influence over Israel itself. As Tyre began to be its own city and with the maritime trade, became a very important city with a great influence. It eventually influenced Israel so much that the people of Israel, the kings of Israel, wanted to establish a more formal relationship. And so there was a man by the name of Ahab who married a lady by Jezebel who happened to be from this area. And we know that Jezebel hated all of Israel's gods and had decided that she was going to kill any preacher who served the Jehovah God. And by her influence, now Israel up to this time had given lip service saying, we serve God. Maybe not the way the Bible says, but yeah, we serve this God guy. But by the time Jezebel came, they formally said, we no longer serve God. We're no longer pretending. And it was Jezebel who had this great influence on formally taking Israel to worship the god Baal, which was the thunder god, which would be very important to sailors to make sure that you had the thunder god on your side, the god of the sea, the god of the storms. And of course, that caused havoc not only for Israel, but for Judah as well, as Jezebel's daughter Athaliah had caused a lot of havoc within Judah as well. Now, as we go back to Isaiah and kind of study it, just I gave you a quick little background history to show that in the Old Testament, very much Tyre was not a good influence, not the good people that you wanted to depend upon, and yet they were a great influence on Israel. The Bible begins to explain a little bit more about Tyre's economic and prosperity and maritime presence. Notice, if you don't mind, as we just quickly look at verse number 1, back to Isaiah 23 and verse 1. The burden of Tyre, how ye ships, once again showing that maritime trade, ships of Tarshish. Tarshish, once again, is going to be another colony that was started from Tyre. For it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in, from the land of Chittim. Chittim is going to be the island of Cyprus. So once again, an island within the Mediterranean Sea. From the land of Chittim, it is revealed to them, be still, ye inhabitants of the isle. Thou whom the merchants, there's the word merchants, of Zidon, that pass over the sea have replenished. And by the great waters, the seed of Sihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is the mart of nations. Once again, we're seeing that the Bible's describing Tyre and as this maritime trade, this mart of the nations. It's where they would get the trade. They would get all the different colonies and have things from Greece, from Rome, from Europe, and Egypt, and be able to trade them all throughout the Mediterranean Sea. Notice as it goes on, verse 4. Be thou ashamed, O Zidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, or bring up virgins. As the report concerning Egypt, so they will be sorely pained at the report of Tyre. Here in verse 5, as it's talking about previous predictions of the destruction of Egypt, you thought people were mourning over Egypt? Just wait till they hear that Tyre has been destroyed. When the city center of commerce is destroyed, where the place where all of the traders come from, all of the sailors on the Mediterranean Sea are come from and trained, and that's where all the ships are, when that harbor is destroyed, when Tyre is destroyed, it's going to affect the economics of the entire region, and the people are going to be pained. Notice it goes on, verse number 6. Pass ye over to Tarshish, how ye inhabitants of the isle. Is this your joyous city, whose iniquity is of ancient days? Once again, we had spoken about how Tyre had gone all the way back up to ancient days. It is one of the oldest continuously populated cities found in the Bible. Her own feet shall carry her off to sojourn. Who hath this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose traffickers, though he carries the idea of traitors, are the honorable of the earth, meaning that these people look up to Tyre and Sidon for the sailors, for the people who are controlling the merchants. They are very much, have so much influence, even though they are not royalty, they're treated as royalty, which is a big deal in the ancient world that did not have a middle class like traders, very prominent like we do today. Notice as it goes on. Verse 9. And the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory. That word stain is actually kind of making a cheeky reference to the purple dye that they have. And it's saying that God is going to put a different stain upon them that is not going to be for glory. And to bring contempt to the honorable of the earth, pass through the land as a river, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no more strength. He stretched out his hand over the sea, and he shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy the strongholds thereof. And he hath said, thou hast no more rejoice, thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Zidon, arise, pass over to Chittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. In fact, we're going to pause right there and keep on going. For the land of the Chaldeans, this people was not till the Assyrian founded it for them that dwell in the wilderness, they that set up towers thereof, and they have raised up the palaces thereof, and he hath brought it to ruin. How, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. So in this passage, we're learning quite a bit about this traveling. Isaiah begins to describe the downfall of Tyre as the desert of the sea. Once a bustling port, the city would become a place of silence and ruin. Its ports, which had been a constant activity, would cease to operate because of God's judgment. The ships of Tarshish, returning home to hear of Tyre's destruction, are going to be the people who are going to be mourning because the economy is now destroyed. Sidon, which is described as Tyre's mother, is pictured as mourning the loss of this destroyed city. With this, we could see that there's a prophecy here that looks ahead to Babylon, which again it speaks about here, the Chaldeans, verse 13. The Chaldeans are going to be the same as what we call the Babylonians. And the Chaldeans are predicted, who again, they're not a world empire yet, are going to be the ones to predict it to come and destroy Sidon. Under Nebuchadnezzar, he is going to come, and for 13 years, the Babylonians are going to lay siege to Tyre. They're going to manage to take the mainland city, but the island fortress is still going to remain a challenge due to its thing. So Nebuchadnezzar is going to have a partial... a conquest of it, and it's going to destroy the mainland of Tyre, and it's going to be destroyed for 70 years, as it is predicted here. We're going to see this more vividly told in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 26 through 28. We're not going to turn there. That's a different study. But that goes more into detail of a future destruction by Tyre. And that Tyre is going to endure waves upon waves of attacking nations as Nebuchadnezzar continues to bring this judgment upon them. Ezekiel's prophecy even foresees the scraping away of the city's soil, pretty much scraping it just down to bare rock. And again, we find that this is in history. It was exactly as the Bible portrayed it, as it occurred inside of history. But then we're going to see there's going to be more of a fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah 23. Notice with me in verse 15. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. And at the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Here it's describing that the city is going to be brought into obscurity. Then it's going to come back. And it gives a metaphor of like singing like a harlot. It carries the idea of one that got prominence. And now it's singing, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back. It continues on, verse 17. And it shall come to pass at the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord, and it shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Here again, God is going to use this, the destruction and the things that happen with Tyre, for his holiness. We know that later on, God is going to use Tyre to provide the wood in Ezra's day to help rebuild the temple. That God's going to say, I know that you were destroyed for a while, but I'm going to bring you back up. And I know that you're going to go ahead and resume your trade, but I've got plans for you. And they're going to provide the wood. They're going to provide the things they need to do to rebuild this temple, and showing that God can use it. Now, one of the most traumatic events in Tyre's history was the siege by Alexander the Great. Now, Alexander the Great had not lost a battle. And in 332 BC, he decided that he wanted to take care of the unconquerable city known as Tyre. Now, Alexander the Great was a great egotist. I haven't lost a battle, and he hasn't lost a challenge, whether it was the Gordian knot or the threat. No one can conquer Tyre. So he goes and says, you know what? I bet you I can. Now, the island of Tyre was the main thing. The mainland is easy to get conquered. We saw that with Nebuchadnezzar. But the island, not only is it an island, but it had walls surround it right on the beach. That means that you couldn't land on the beach and then tried to besiege the city. The walls went straight from the sea along the rock coast, so there was nowhere to land. And it was very hard to attack from the sea to overcome walls. So how do you destroy a city that's undestroyable? So Alexander the Great said, I've got a plan. Now remember, there is a half a mile of water between the shore to the island. That's a long way to walk, isn't it? But Alexander the Great says, you know what? What we're going to do is, guys, we're going to build ourselves a causeway. And so they went and started grabbing rocks and began to drop them into the sea. Bit by bit, they would build this causeway, just dropping it and making their own land bridge. Now, you can imagine that took a while. And they were attacked. Tyre would send ships from time to time to try to destroy their little rock bridge that they would build, and they would launch arrows from the city. But Alexander the Great did it. He built this big causeway, which allowed him to bring his siege machinery, and he conquered that city and destroyed it, leveled it, down to bare rock like God said he would. And Alexander the Great, you know, once again, didn't lose a battle and took every challenge personally. He was able to take an unconquerable city that is a half a mile away from the land and build it. Now, if you look at a map today, there is no island. It is now a peninsula because of that rock bridge there had collected dirt and soil, and it's now all land and all connected, thanks to Alexander the Great and his brilliant victory. It's a study in itself to study how he did this and how he conquered this. Even today, there are military historians who study this to teach in modern military tactics. Very interesting. But we're not quite done yet. We talked about the Old Testament, and that in the Old Testament, Tyre was known for its maritime trade. It was known for its own influences. It didn't let people influence it. It influenced others. It controlled the trade. People were beholden to it. When it was destroyed, it caused an economic ruin. And we see a lot about that inside of the Old Testament. However, inside of the New Testament, we still see Tyre being mentioned. If you don't mind, let's just look and see as we turn to the gospel record of Matthew chapter 11. Jesus makes mention of Tyre. Now again, the people that Jesus is speaking to in Matthew 11 would know the history of Tyre. Again, Tyre is still that city that's up north. It's still a city that has very much a lot of maritime trade. It's still a city that has iniquity, antiquity, all the way back up to Genesis chapter 10. All of the scribes and Pharisees would know the history of Tyre. So Jesus makes mention of Tyre in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew 11, notice what Jesus says in verse number 20. Matthew 11, verse 20. Then began he, that's Jesus, to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you hath been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. As Jesus is speaking, remember that Jesus did most of his miracles around the Sea of Galilee inside of these cities. That's where he spent most of his earthly ministry, was around these cities near Capernaum, Nazareth, these Bethsaida, all of these cities around the Sea of Galilee. And because they have done so many miracles, and yet the people didn't turn, they didn't change their mind. Jesus just finally stops and says, listen, if just part of these miracles were done in Tyre and Sidon, who you know in the ancient world didn't want to do anything with God, was against God's people. They tried it. If we did these miracles up there, they would have repented a long time ago. They just needed to be told the truth and show that Jesus is real, and they would have accepted. However, the rest of you hear about Jesus all the time and it doesn't affect you. He says, let me tell you, that Tyre and Sidon, now again, we showed you the Old Testament. We showed you how they were against God's people. We showed you their pride, their self-reliance. We showed you that they were taking care of things themselves. Jesus said, it would be more tolerable for them at the judgment seat than for you. Because them, if they would just saw the miracles, they would have repented. But you, you've had time and time and time again and haven't responded well. Jesus, again, is making a big deal and a relation. If you told to a Pharisee at that time, hey, is Tyre a good place? He would say, no, and let me show you in the Bible. Turn with me to Isaiah 23. Let me show you in the book of Ezekiel. Let me show you these chapters. No, Tyre is not good. God says they're not good. In the Old Testament, they're the bad guys. And yet Jesus is saying, if these miracles were done there, they would have repented a long time ago. They wouldn't have needed all these chances they would have repented. We know that they still had a great deal of influence. We're not going to turn there, but in the book of Acts chapter 12, where you had Herod, who had just killed James, he has a party. You know who's invited to the party? Tyre. The city of Tyre, the officials of Tyre, because he's trying to work an agreement out with them, a trade agreement to work together. So they still had power. They hadn't lost their power. And Jesus said, if they would have heard even now the miracles, they would have repented. Well, I want to show you something interesting. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Acts 21. Acts 21. And look with me, if you don't mind, in Acts 21. And as we're traveling with the Apostle Paul, notice with me as we look at Acts 21 and verse number 3. Acts 21 and verse number 3. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for the ship was to unlade her burden, which makes sense. You're going to stop at Tyre and you're going to, Paul had got passage and it's unloading the ship. That's where you unload it at. It's at Tyre. It's a merchant thing. Verse number 4. And finding disciples. So Paul found disciples. Where? At Tyre. You know what he found at Tyre? A local New Testament church. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. So Paul says, guess what? There's a church here. We're going to stay here for 7 days. We're going to hang out with these guys. We're going to fellowship with these brothers in Christ. Isn't it wonderful that there were some people who did hear about the miracles of Christ and they did repent? And a local New Testament church was established there that Paul could later visit and be encouraged, who said to Paul in the through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. What city? Tyre. And we knelt down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one another, we took ship again and returned home again. And when we finished our course from Tyre. So isn't it interesting at the end of Paul's journey, as he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem where he's going to be arrested, they take a pit stop at Tyre. He wasn't looking for it. Notice that Paul did not start the church at Tyre. But someone went and told them about the miracles of Christ. And just like Jesus said, if they heard the miracles, they would repent. And he found some people heard the miracles. They repented, had a New Testament church, which was able to be a refreshing to the Apostle Paul on his way back. You say, well, that's interesting. We say that to say that there are times that we have in our mind that there is a group of people that will not listen to the gospel. And because of that, we don't try to give them the gospel. You know, we spend time working on church people. But church people have heard it so many times that they don't want to hear it anymore. You know, it has been my personal experience that you could look at a nice, well-dressed man wearing nice suit coming from the office. Then you have a biker who in the middle of winter is just wearing a leather vest and nothing else. You could see his arms and he doesn't look cold at all. It's snowing. It's 30 below. And you know, it's more interesting that I can have a better conversation about the Lord with a biker than I can with a well-dressed person. We sometimes get in mind that these people will never listen to me. They're known. No biker is going to listen to me. This group of people, they're not going to listen to me. And we keep in our mind that they're ancient enemies, that from of time of old. But you know, sometimes all they need to hear is the miracles of God and be introduced with the real God, and they would repent. You know, part of the problem is that no one has ever given them the chance to hear the gospel. And we concentrate on people who have had the opportunity here time and time again, and they've rejected it. We get to the place where if we had to choose, I only have choice to choose this person or this person. We always choose the nice-dressed people, the people that look respectable, not realizing that those other people, if they were just told, they would accept Christ as their Savior. If they could just be told, and they would repent a long time ago. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus is talking to these people who got used to the miracles. And praise the Lord, someone did go to Tyre. We don't have record who. It was not recorded who went, but someone did. And someone went, and they had disciples there. They had people who were not just churchgoers, but they were followers of the Lord. Remember, the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the word disciples is not used lightly. These are people who made a decision to follow the Lord. They're not just people sitting in a pew. They're following after Christ. And when Paul arrives, they're not throwing stones at him. In fact, they show concern. Paul, we don't want you to go. And it says that they said in the spirit. You know what that means? They've gotten used to dying to self and dependent upon the Lord. This wasn't just a superficial church. It was a church that was dependent on God, following after God, dying to self, wanting what God wanted for them. And Jesus said, if someone would have just went to go tell them, they would have repented. Isn't it interesting? Who is it that you are resistant from telling? Who is it that you have in your mind that they'll never listen to me? You know how many people who have an alternate lifestyle would actually listen to someone who cared for them rather than condemn them? We used to have a good ministry to the Wiccans, to the Gothics. You know, those people have been kicked on all of their life and told that they're going to hell. But when you present them the love of Christ, it's an interest to them because they've never felt loved. So many times people are always rejected and we just look at them expecting they'll never listen. But you never know. That's why the Bible says we're to give the gospel to every creature. Every creature. With that, we just had a quick study. I got rid of half of my notes in order to try to preach that in a presentable way that didn't college professor this thing. But there's a lot to study in Tyre and its importance. But we could summarize here that God had said in the Old Testament that there was going to be judgment. But then he also said that he was still going to use it to be a blessing to his people. We know the specific fulfillment was within the New Testament, within the restoration and giving the supplies to Ezra and Nehemiah and them to rebuild the temple. But there's a loose fulfillment later on, but there's a church inside of the book of Acts that was able to encourage the Apostle Paul as he's getting ready to go to one of his hardest times of his life. What a wonderful God that we have. There are people who will listen if we will just tell them. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.